Radio.
And we're rolling. Did I never send you a copy of my album?
No. Yeah.
I'll send it to you.
Cool, thanks. Do you want to plug in?
I don't even know if it can. Oh, yeah, I guess it can. Sure.
Yeah, let's see that.
Whatever's easiest for you guys.
Do you have vinyl?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, we're getting that in like a month, but I'll send you the digital.
Fuck yeah, that'd be great. Thanks.
I'm doing a casual commercial for myself right now.
Oh, that reminds me. We got to start doing promos.
For what?
Like at the end of the recording, can you do like a 15-second like, hey, this week I have on.
Oh yeah, okay.
That way we can play it every week.
Yeah.
Here you go. Give me a chance.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll do it at the beginning of the show and pretend like we had a great interview.
I'm gonna bring this phone back to my daughter so she doesn't spaz.
Simon is not getting this back from me.
I'm sure he could be pushed around. I'm just filling time because I want this all to be part of the podcast. We have Richard Edwards on today on Sing Songers. I'll do a little
intro for once.
A little intro. Yeah. I'm here with my sidekick, Church.
Hello.
We're doing a little Sing Songers podcast with Richard Edwards, who has a solo album out now. And I don't have that information, goddammit. Although I own the album.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, and we also made the Moon Wrapped music video.
We made the Moon Wrapped music video, yeah. And it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And his other band is Margot and the Nuclear So-and-Sos, which is a great title.
Oh, I thought that you just
forgot
remember
the
last part.
That would be so mean.
The Nuclear So-and-Sos?
Yeah.
So-and-sos.
So-and-sos.
What do you mean, Dino? Like,
whatnots.
You can't remember?
You know, whatnots.
No, that's their name, you know? Like, who's on first? What?
And there's Tish just walking around. Yeah. We're waiting for Richard Edwards to give his, what's his daughter's name again?
Eleanor.
Eleanor, right.
Good memory.
Well, it's a good
I
name.
Thought it was so-and-so.
Yeah.
Church has a really good memory.
Don't test that today. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Can I take your picture in that row?
Yes.
Richard is giving his daughter the phone back because she'll freak out if she doesn't have it, as all kids do nowadays.
Yeah.
This is a good sing-songer so far.
Uh-huh. Right. You guys singing songs?
No.
Me.
I'm not sing-songers.
I hope the phone don't ring. Yeah.
I see Richard. He's walking up. Usually we just jump right into it. Oh, I could plug my album.
Send it to Jim.
Album. The Invisible Hand of Tim, available I don't know where. We're going to soon have sorryabouteverything.com. And I think it's going to be on the Starburns website.
Well, someone should let me know about that so I can make that happen since I'm the one doing the website.
Right. I know.
You looked at me like that was a question. Like
everything's a question with me. I have no idea what's going on. But it's got 15 tracks. 15 tracks. I don't know how much it'll cost. Probably like $9.99, right?
Right.
That's probably about as much.
It doesn't matter.
One of the tracks is like
steal it anyway.
I know it's true. I hope they care enough to steal it.
Buy the vinyl.
What if no one steals it buys it?
That would make me sadder than
I know
anything.
There's Jeff Davis.
Hi, Jeff Davis.
My brother's here too.
Oh really? Bill's here. And there he is, Richard Edwards.
What is going on here?
All right. I was just plugging my album.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know, I own your new album, and I forgot the name of it. What is the name of it? This is the kind of treatment you get here. I'm sorry. I love you. I love the album. I just forgot the name of it.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I'm drinking. Is your daughter out there, out here?
She is, but you can say whatever you want. She's cool.
I'm a little drunk.
She's hip.
Yeah.
It's called Lemon Cotton Candy Sunset.
Lemon Cotton Candy. Oh, yeah, right. Of course.
A lot of words.
Yeah.
Lots of words.
I was struck by it when I was listening to it. And I had the main question I had was when you, because I always project from by the way I write.
Yeah.
When I listen to an album, and I was thinking, do you start out with an idea for a song, or is it sort of just a abstract kind of feeling you have?
When I was younger, it was more abstract, probably, and more. It was like primarily free association.
Yeah.
As I've gotten older, it's been, as the writing slowed down, and as I've gotten older, it's been more narrowing.
How old are you?
I'm 62. I'm 33.
33?
Yeah. But I've been doing this since, you know, more or less full time since I was 18.
Yeah, yeah.
So, or 19.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah, you just said older. You didn't say old.
No.
I wanted to jump down your throat because I'm 52. And
52 is not bad.
It's not bad, no.
Yeah.
I just got my first checkup in like 40 years, and I'm perfectly healthy.
You are?
Yeah.
Well, you got more for yourself than I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You just got over. I didn't want to rub it in your face. I just realized. Yeah, you just got over being sick. You almost wrote that whole album like you were sick, right?
I was real sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had this thing called C. diff, which is this terrible like intestinal thing.
And are you over it now?
Yeah, I have. I still have. It's like, I don't think a lot of people get back to totally normal, but you keep testing negative, which is great. But it was like a couple year thing before I got actual answers of what it was.
Oh, so you didn't know, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that year, because as a sing-songer, what was that year like for writing?
That year was pretty horrible in every way, but I did write a lot.
Yeah. So in that way, it was good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do it all over again.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think that stuff changes. It can't help but change what you're doing and change your mental state. And when it changes your mental state, I guess the byproduct of that is what comes out of that mental state is twisted.
Yeah. But beautiful.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I mean, I've tried to talk more about what the nice thing about illness was instead of how much of a bummer it is, but...
That's what I'm trying to do.
There you go. Even though you're healthy.
Well, yeah, but your illness.
Yeah, okay.
I try to talk about the nice things about other people's illnesses.
Yeah, I'm trying to be positive about your illness.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I try to do that, too.
Yeah.
No, I think it changed... The most thing it did was change the way I sang, I think. I started developing like a falsetto that was different than what I did because it was really painful to...
Oh, wow.
Sing.
To sing, yeah, sing from your your diaphragm.
From
or
my gut. Yeah.
So you're singing from your head.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which
is in perfect condition.
That's right. Nothing's wrong with that yet.
Yeah. And we were saying that, let's do the plug for the show first because I want to do that before we even get into the interview.
Okay.
Hey, just got done with an amazing interview with Richard Edwards. Some really crazy stuff you opened up to us about. That was great.
Feels good to open up.
Yeah. On the next Sing-Songers, Richard Edwards, the writer of Moon Wrapped, a beautiful song. Here's a little of it right now. That good? All right. We're going to keep this in the show, too, just so people could call us out on the bullshit.
Yeah.
Your daughter's outside, and I keep swearing. But
she's okay. She's
okay
listening to like
Eleanor's out there.
She's listening to Bob's Burger soundtrack. She's not listening to me.
Oh, I saw the picture of her with that.
That's her thing now.
Aren't there like 150 songs on that?
They're all like 22 seconds long.
I should have that guy on.
Yeah,
it's one guy.
Three records.
Yeah,
but somehow they stretched that into like a $92 box set.
Is it a vinyl?
With stickers. Yeah.
Oh wow.
It's vinyl. She's listening to the.
Yeah, I got your
she
vinyl.
She carries vinyl around with her.
I got your vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I for the first hour, I played it on 33.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
I've gotten emails saying there's something wrong with the vocals or something.
It's supposed to be played on 45.
Uh-huh.
There's like three songs on each side.
It's one of those records that's so stupid. It's like 5 minutes too long to be on one record.
Exactly. That's what happened with my record, only they didn't tell us in time. So now we have a really long record on two sides. Yeah.
How long is it?
Like 43 minutes.
Oh, so just not super offensive.
Not too
for
bad
audio quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long's yours?
Mine's like 55 minutes.
55. You had a good year of being sick. Or 2 years.
I got another Dino one coming out so in January, jealous. Too.
Yeah. Why can't I be that sick?
You can catch it.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Kiss me.
I don't think that way, though. You'd have to kiss another part of your body.
Jesus, all right. Yeah.
Or take a lot of too many antibiotics.
Is that what happened to you?
No, they don't know what happened to me.
Yeah.
It's like a weird illness a lot of elderly had it for a long time, and now it is affecting younger and younger people, and they're trying to figure out why that is.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason I was undiagnosed for so long, is I think when you're young and you go in, they really just tell you, like, rub dirt on it. Or they just assume it's a lifestyle thing that's causing
Yeah, come on. Yeah, get over it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's all those young people sleeping with really old people.
That's right.
Yeah. I think there's a little subtext in the description that might tell us a little bit about
your
life.
That's in the record,
your
too.
Activities.
Yeah. I always read about songwriters. Bitching about when they're interviewed. Why don't they ask me about this? Why don't they ask me about that? What do you want to, what would be the perfect question to ask you?
Oh, I don't care. I've never cared about any of that.
Rhyming. How many songs do you have without rhymes?
All of them. Most.
Yeah.
Most.
Yeah, I noticed that, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
No, it's good because, I was listening for it. It didn't, like, hit
for
me.
For the rhymes?
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to the album several times. So the one of the last times, one of my questions that I write down generally for people is like about rhyming, and then I said, well, I should listen to his rhyme tonight, and I was surprised that a lot of them don't have rhymes.
And, what's the question that you ask about rhyming?
Well, it's always different. One my way of rhyming is to put the weirder rhyme first.
Mm-hmm.
Like the more forced word,
yeah.
First, and so the second one just kind of rolls off, and it seems more natural.
That's because you're a good writer, probably too. I don't write other stuff. I mean, you have to, like, your writing has to work over a lot of things. For
I overthink it, maybe.
You think?
Yeah. Like, are you more like kind of poetic when you write and just kind of let your first drafts go? Or?
When I write. I'm really good for, like, one verse.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, I can come up with a really great, I mean, relatively, for, you know, if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
Then what happens is.
Then you've got to repeat that melody.
Now you're just trying to figure
rhythm.
That out.
Yeah. Or, like, I try to change the melody, but it's more like I'm one of those people that I'll have a verse that I think is really clever or well-written or something's done well. And then it's like. All right, my work is done here.
Yeah, Mm-hmm.
But then for the next 2 months, I'm trying to figure out how to make a second
God
verse.
Damn it, that's
clever.
That's exactly, it's so true.
That's exactly what happens to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
because
that's
it's
good
the original idea, right? Yeah. And so that the original idea of the song flows out and it's awesome and it seems self-contained and perfect, almost like that's a poem or something.
Yeah.
And that can stand alone. And the rest of it is trying to solve the problem of the rest of the song.
Exactly.
And that's just work.
Going with.
And I'm usually idiotic when I go back because I try and get the same amount of syllables and the same kind of rhyme scheme. And that's working.
I used
backwards.
To do that. And I have friends that do. I started to feel a little self-conscious about how I do stuff because as I've gotten older. Older again, not old, but
I'll lay off you.
What I've tried to do, I've become really interested in writing songs where it doesn't necessarily repeat melodically. Like the core of that melody repeats, but it goes off and does things.
It's a good idea. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, it's really helpful, you know, like to take each section.
Yeah.
And maybe it does start with the beginning of that idea.
Yeah.
Melodically. But then you hope that by the end of it, it's curled and.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Freed itself a little bit from the original constraint of that. But I have friends who do write things very specifically in stanza, in rhyme scheme like you're talking about. And it did make me feel at times like they're working a lot harder than I am. You know, like
in a sweaty way where it's not,
totally.
it doesn't feel right.
No, it's like, but it's a certain kind of honing in on like a, formula idea that maybe there's maybe that's why they write more songs than I do.
Yeah.
Because maybe it takes me weeks with one verse to just try to bend that melody to where it isn't just the melody and figure out different rhymes for that same melody.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all kind of like a hippy dippy way.
No, it's great. This is exactly what this podcast is about, man.
Yeah.
Don't apologize.
I do this weird thing.
This is great.
Like, once I have, like, that one thing that popped out, like, you know, the one verse, or maybe it's a bridge, or maybe it's a chorus, or whatever it is that I originally write down, I sit and I break down the syllables, because now I have to crack the code of the rest of the song. And I actually do, and I don't know if anybody else does this, because it's so weird to see my scraps of paper, like, laying around. I make dashes, like, almost like space filling, like, and each dash is a syllable. And I just, like, once I figure out what the structure is, I have just like a page full of dashes, and now it's like really like solving a puzzle.
Yeah, it's kind
like
of
word,
how
it becomes
I do
like
it.
A word game where I'm then and like, okay, well, this rhyme, like, this is now the rhyme structure that I have from this thing I already did, and so now I can actually break down the formula of what I wrote spontaneously and make that apply to the rest of the song.
I wish I could look at the paper while you're saying
it. Yeah.
It's kind of how I do it, only I just separate my syllables with spaces. But it's dumb. I mean, I'm not saying you're dumb. I'm saying,
and this is just for like your songwriting?
No, it's weird the way that we trick ourselves into like having a process that isn't, you know.
And I don't do it as much as I used to, but it definitely, it's my first place I go to, you know.
Do you write dialogue like that, or is that just for songs?
No, just,
is that just more off the top of your head?
Yeah, dialogue, yeah. I should turn my dialogue into songs. They'd probably be more interesting, actually. They wouldn't rhyme.
Right.
God, I love that yours don't rhyme.
Wasn't it Bowie who would, like, you know, just have random lines, and he would like cut things out of magazines? And
that
stuff,
certainly is a way of writing
around the floor. Yeah. Like, he would just move things around the floor, and that's like
why I believe that about Bowie, because I'm
an alligator.
Look, I like Bowie, but I think he's more of a showman than an artist.
Yeah, that's a hot take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't necessarily disagree with it.
Yeah,
I like Ziggy Stardust record. My child got real excited when you started talking about David Bowie.
Oh yeah, so, does she like David? She writes music too, right? Does she write songs?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
should we bring her in here? And does she want to talk? I want to interview everyone who writes songs.
She's starting that. We did that since she was really little. Like, she'd come into my office.
I think it would be cool if she came in, but she doesn't have to. No pressure. She has an open.
Do you want to come in and say something before you go back out?
She has an open invite here.
Okay, she'll talk for a minute about her.
How old is she?
Write songs. She's seven. She'll be eight at the end of the year.
Cool. We had a 7-year-old at my other podcast.
Really?
With Andy Dick, and he got kicked out by Andy Dick, but Andy Dick's not here. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi.
You could sit here. Matt will help you.
So you want to say something? So we've all talked about how we think about writing. So maybe you talk for a minute about how you think about writing.
Does that you can say sense? Anything, but or I'll try anything. And guide you. You got a little cat ears on?
I like cats.
I know. You've been wearing them for days, right?
She
Have you washed your hair?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I washed my hair. I just like to wear cat ears. I don't know why.
Well, they look adorable.
Cool.
They're cute.
They're adorable.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, how many songs have you written?
I like kind of like when I'm like alone and bored, I kind of like make up songs in my head.
That's
or,
what
like,
I did.
I mix songs that I kind of make up in my head with other songs that I know.
Oh, yeah. So they kind of have that melody. You're like the little Weird Al Yankovic. Do you know who Weird Al Yankovic is?
No.
You're not really like him. But so you have the melodies of other songs in your heads and you just put your own words to it?
Yeah.
Cool. And do you ever put your own melodies in there? Like, change it a little bit?
Sometimes.
That's kind of a great way of writing. I think a lot of writers do that when they're inspired by a certain song. They take the overall feel and the style of the song. Have you done that, Richard, at all? Like,
I've never done that.
No, you seem more of an artist. You're no Bowie.
We did. Do you remember? So when we had The Office, you had rock and roll everywhere. You had Butterflies Everywhere. Do you remember any of the other titles? Because we have a whole folder on the computer that still exists.
These are songs of hers?
These were songs of hers when
she
was
like
four.
We made up little songs when I was like four or three.
Oh my God.
So I would play like a guitar part or a riff, right? And you would freestyle it.
And where do they come from? They just come from off the top of your head, or are you thinking
about? Yeah, like
we
sing it like about butterflies, bees, Batman.
It's just stuff that you love.
Stuff, yeah.
Do you ever sing about things you hate?
Sometimes.
Like what?
Me and my friend Roman sing about Donald Trump. We sing Donald Trump eating rotten ham, and it's really funny.
Sing us that right now. Can you sing it? Do you remember it?
Yeah, I remember it.
How's it go?
It just like says the same lyrics all over. We have to like figure it out. It has like different lyrics, but I don't really want to say those ones. Like Donald Trump eating rotten ham. 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 And it like has other lyrics, but
the other one that I was the one I.
How did you know that Donald Trump eats rotten ham?
I don't know. Me and my friend just.
He really
just
does.
Like, yeah.
He's a jerk.
Then you had eating spoiled meat.
Yeah. Wow.
That was I love that song.
I know.
Yeah.
Did you put music to it?
I made it. I recorded it and used it as a ringtone for a while.
Yeah. Do you still have it?
Oh, yeah.
Play a little bit and sing along to it if you can.
Should we make it?
Should play a little bit of it.
Yeah.
It's like Donald Trump eating rotten ham, Donald Trump eating rotten ham, Donald Trump eating rotten ham. That doesn't really go like with it.
you're like guitar gently weeping over here.
Donald Trump eating rotten ham, Donald Trump eating rotten ham, Donald Trump eating rotten ham.
I don't think your dad's getting into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Donald Trump eating rotten ham song.
Donald Trump eating rotten ham. 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 That like goes.
That's better.
Does better.
That's better. Yeah.
Sorry. I failed you.
No. It was great. You guys, you're the best. Have you ever gone up on stage with your dad?
Like a long time ago, like when he, like when I was like 3 or 2, I like ran up and down the stage and people tried to chase me off the stage.
Oh, so you weren't really supposed to be there.
She just wandered out on stage.
I just was like running around the stage.
Wow.
And I've been on stage before all by myself and like with my friends at school.
Oh, really? You've done like
I did
shows?
The talent show with my friends.
Did you do songs?
Yeah. We danced to a fight song.
Oh, cool.
And then you met the composer of Fight Song this week.
Yeah.
Which was another songwriting moment.
His house is amazing.
Much better than mine.
All right. Well, thank. Well, you're welcome to stay if you want. Or you can go listen out there.
Okay. Right. See ya.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
I didn't want her to upstage you too much.
She also, does. There's no cats allowed in the studio, so we really can keep her.
That's actually not true. No dogs.
No dogs.
Yeah. That was great.
She's cool. She does. She's a little.
Yeah.
Spitfire.
Yeah. My daughter is very shy still, but I was very shy when.
Yeah.
I was too. We got some buzzing going on. Oh, I see Matt doing something over there. Maybe it's not even recording that.
He fixed it.
All right. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Hi.
back. We're only 23 minutes in.
That's okay. We got, I go.
But who's counting?
That's right.
I actually count a lot because, you know, sometimes I worry about running out of words to say.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah.
What's your favorite song you've written?
Thank you.
Something on this record. There's a song called Rollin', Rollin', Rollin' on this record that I think was relatively well done. There's a couple songs on the. I was in a band before this, and there's a couple songs on the last record that band did. Really, only things that I've done in the last 4 or 5 years, maybe.
Is your last song usually your favorite?
For me, it's
the new baby.
Yeah. I think so.
Moon Wrapped is a beautiful song, and I heard you say it's a very special for you.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about that?
Well, I had started that song, I guess long, long time ago. It was one of the earlier songs that was started. And then my daughter's mom and I, you know, like split up and the divorce happened and it kind of became finished in a very different way than it. Ooh. It began as very much of like a, kind of like almost just a traditional love song, as traditional as my.
That's interesting. So halfway through the song, you broke up.
Yeah. Or just I did something I had sat on the shelf for a long time. Yeah. And I liked, there was a kernel of something I liked in it, but I couldn't really get it finished. And then I brought it out here after that happened because I came back out here to work on the record kind of right after that whole thing happened.
Yeah.
And I finished it. Yeah. I turned it into a drag.
a great drag. Yeah. You put a lot of sound effects on this record here and there. Do you think of that in the production stage or in the writing stage?
The writing. Yeah.
Sorry, I just got over a cold.
You just caught
I don't have a cough button.
I think that stuff, maybe not right when I've written a song, but I always have done that, maybe more than people would like me to do.
Why? Why wouldn't
I? I'm much more interested in film than I am music. And I think there's something, like, I don't think there's as many records as I would like that sort of operate in a film kind of world like that. And for some reason, when I do those things, as long as it's with intentionality and not just throwing sound effects on, for some reason, to me, it starts to feel more like a home or something, like more handmade and more. I've always liked like voiceovers in songs if it's done well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've never known why that's not done more, like why instrumental sections in songs aren't treated more like kind of with a more filmy sort of, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to write a Christmas album.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not a happy one, but I'm... Because of that genre, I'm thinking in a different way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Christmas songs have recitations in them.
Little spoken words.
Yeah.
Are you doing that?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I kind of fell into it because I'm like, I can't think of the music for this. And I'm like, oh, wait, this could be, you know, like a little poem part in the middle of the song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, I guess I think about all those, great stop motion Christmas movies that I'm now rediscovering with my kid.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that always feels like there's a little moment where they all have their conversation, which is amazing. I love it. I wish there were more records like that too, that treated it that way. And it wasn't just because it needed that for a visual.
Yeah. Well, the Moody Blues, they do it a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel like, that's interesting you say filmic, because this last album, and like I said, I don't really do research on these. so that's the album I know most of yours.
Yeah.
You know, I've listened to songs here and there. But it does feel like a whole piece unto itself and very filmic. And
I hope so. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's always what I'm trying to do. Not that it always works, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you, because we did your video, your music video, Sophia Astrom directed it, and you had a definite vision for that video.
Yeah.
And did that come out of, when you were writing it, are these the images you were thinking, or is this like an afterthought?
That probably comes later, maybe, for me, but... because I'm interested in movies and because I've kind of more did that in school even than music, I have a lot of those ideas instantly. It's just a matter of like, you never have money or even know people to accomplish much of it.
Yeah.
You know, but I have much more of that just stockpile of, you know, whether they're good ideas or bad ideas, I don't know, but ideas in that sort of vein.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that thing that I sent you guys, it's just 90% of them. It's like, I live in Indiana. You can't wander into a place like this every day and.
No, we can't even do this every day.
Yeah,
or go broke. Yeah. But we loved the song, and it was definitely, you know, Sophia loved doing it, and she was just out of AFI, so she was just happy to excited to do something.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the few things that you do, and it kind of comes out looking so much better than what's in your head. Always looks nice. It's never like the thing in your head looks terrible, and you got to get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Better, but it's very. Few times that you see someone do something and think that's so much better than the thing I thought, which I thought was okay.
Yeah, we'll definitely put it up on this website when this goes up, if you're cool with that.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Fuck you.
Fair enough.
Here's your money
back.
Nice
to meet you. A dollar.
A dollar.
Yeah, I needed to get a beer after this.
I feel like you're. A lot of your writing now is almost it's just coming out in the moment, and because I have a lot of questions, but that probably don't apply to you, like the idea that well, in a good way, really, because a lot of my questions come out of my insecurity as a writer. And like, am I doing this? This doesn't seem right. And like,
I want to hear those.
Yeah. Well, okay. So one thing I was thinking of is like, I'll have like some good lines and I'm like, this is so embarrassing. I got to space these good lines out. You know, you can't have too many good lines in a row,
because mm-hmm.
then you'll peak too early.
That's right.
Or you'll have them bored at the beginning and then, yeah, you know. But it doesn't seem like you write like that.
I write like that. I'm a big fan of, I think Paul Simon does this, obviously. I mean, Dylan always did this. Not even having line after line of good stuff, but building to that last thing. That's
yeah.
the last mm-hmm. kind of twist the knife.
Right, right.
And I didn't do that when I was younger. I mean, it was more like you know.
Actually, for the Christmas album that I'm writing, I had a line for like that I wanted to say for the end, because you couldn't start with it. It had to be like where the song goes. mm-hmm. But then I also didn't want to end with it either, because it seemed like too much of a dramatic punchline
yeah.
in some way. So I put it in the bridge, and then you could cough right into the...
yeah, okay.
I've been doing it.
I mean, that seems like a Randy Newman way to do it.
Coughing into the mic? No.
Yeah.
Oh, the
yeah,
way what I'm
yeah,
talking about.
Coughing into yeah, I think he would... That seems like a writer who would be self-conscious about ending on a big, like, oh, there he went.
Right.
You know, he seems like someone that would do it at 2 minutes.
Right.
And then just talk about looking at the ocean for the last
yeah.
30 seconds.
And but is self-consciousness a good thing? You know, I mean, maybe your first instinct is better, to put it at the end.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you're telling a story, you know, there's, I mean, even in a song, if what you're doing is you're telling a story, then, you know, it's going to have its ups and downs, and then it's going to have a third act and like, and whatever, you know. I think that self-consciousness is good in as much as it makes you edit and make that story better. And,
right.
And
as long as it's just not padding at the end, and it's
right.
like the third act now is the second act, and you're thinking of a new third act.
Right. Well, I think that what this question like leads to in terms of self-consciousness is people who write with an audience reaction in mind and people who write for themselves.
Yeah.
And whether or not, like, do you ever think about, like, oh, well, how is an audience going to receive this? Does that come into your head at all?
No.
Because, like, you were also saying before, it's like, you know, your friends who write in song structure and have, like, a formula,
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel like some people write to conform to what's happening in music, and some people either can't or don't
so care. You don't think of any audience, because when I yeah. write, I think of an audience, an imaginary audience of geniuses.
right.
So I feel like, you know, it's valid. But I like the idea that you're just writing totally for yourself. And
I think at this point I have a little bit of I don't have like a Mount Rushmore that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
But I have a little bit of that, where it's like you do want to have something that's structurally a little more interesting than the last thing you did, melodically, because that's the only strength I have that allows me to do this semi-professionally is melody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And lyrics maybe a little bit, but if I'm not constantly getting better at the melody part and getting more intense, I feel like I don't have any business doing this.
Right.
You know, because that's if I have any talent, that's it. But because of that, I guess I like zero in on that. Whereas I make more records, I want them to become more melodically, not just complex, but unique to myself, I guess. And so that's where writing for myself, I'm not a very easily pleased audience, so it's not like that was great. It's like I'm always kind of saying that was shit, or there's a lot further I could take that melody that's contained within those three chords than it's at right now. You know?
Well, that's interesting. So you're saying your strength is melody, but you're not saying your weakness is words, are you? You're saying
he's yelling at me for saying the bad word.
Oh, well, oh no. What did you say? Say it again.
I said the shit word.
the shit word.
Sorry.
See, you do have an audience.
I do now.
Yeah,
well, I do think about that, because now she's in school and her parents listen to the records.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, oh no.
See, it's hard not to have like even a subconscious audience in your head.
Yeah. Well, when you drop them off, I mean, you have a daughter, at least one, right?
Yeah.
When you
drop
your kids off at school or pick them up, and you do see the parents, and you know that they've heard the records, and you're like, oh no, they know everything that's happened with like your family life.
Yeah. But I also have another podcast with Andy Dick, and that's even worse. Now I don't even drop her off.
So you're not allowed at the
school. Drop her off, yeah, like yeah. a mile away, and I just say walk at this point.
Yeah.
But what I was saying is, you know, you're talking about how your, you know, your strength is melody, or at least, yeah, that's why you're doing it.
Yeah.
But I get from you that you don't think your words are a weakness. They're just more kind of like this thing that flows out of you that you don't.
Yeah, I think I'm
obsess over.
Yeah, I think I'm not bad at writing lyrics. I think I'm good at it, but I'm not good at it. Like, I also have friends that just, you know, they have a song and they have 80 verses, and the job yeah. is to cull it down to.
And three. You're not self-conscious about your lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, but not to the sense where it's like, yeah, when I get three verses, that's a lot of work.
Yeah,
and hopefully they're good. It's not three verses of like,
yeah,
love me do.
Yeah, yeah.
That piece of trash.
Yeah, you know,
that I love more than anything. But
it's a good song, but yeah, yeah. Come on, the words suck.
Yeah, you know. But that's about it for me. I don't have any treasure trove of just words and words and words, you know. I write more words if I'm doing something like nerding around with a script or something that I will never make than yeah. I do with song lyrics.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's interesting what you said, though, you know, people writing 80 verses because their thing is words. Like, because, you know, what you said earlier... about, you know, this thing comes out of you. I actually think that my thing is words, but I toil over them just as much as you're saying you do.
Yeah.
So, but it's because I agonize over every single phrase.
Yeah.
Because for me, like what you're saying about, oh, I'm just trying to please myself with a melody that I think is interesting because I always feel like that's lacking. For me, that's what it is with yeah. words. So I just completely... You know, get into every single phrase, and yeah, three verses because of that is like can take me months.
And
sometimes.
Do you start with words in that way, or
yeah.
do you paste
I mean,
words into?
Well, the
and...
other thing though for me, and we've talked about this before, and I don't know if you've ever composed or worked in film, is I often work with composers, or like because I don't play an instrument, I'm just a singer and a writer, so. To add to the problem of having to figure out verse, you know, two and three after I've written something I like, I'm usually sent a song, like just a track.
Yeah.
And the first thing I have to do is figure out the melody based on what's already been handed to me. So I don't do like what you're saying where it's like, oh, I've written a melody and now I'm going to, you know, maybe write lyrics for that melody. I have to kind of find the melody. And then my words have to be based on the parameters that
which
have already
to me
been
seems like an
me.
Impossible job.
It's solving a puzzle. It's yeah. solving problems.
Yeah.
You know, mostly. So, yeah.
That strikes me as something like I admire that stuff because I think it would take me a year or two just to learn not only that skill, but and then maybe another year to figure out the discipline and whatever to do it.
It is interesting because because you don't play an instrument. Church, I when someone asks me to add words to a melody, I have to play it on the guitar and feel it too, and that makes it easier. So it's got to be very difficult to just like
it feels really difficult.
This thing that's just written in stone that you can't play with at all.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes I have the option to say like, hey, you know, there was only one time I was actually able to say, hey, like, you know, I've got this great melody. And the strings that the band just added onto this track are clashing with it now. I'll have to rewrite this whole song if you keep that string track. Yeah. Do I have the, I know it's like their thing, but like, do I have the option to request that you take that back out of the song? And they did, which
that's nice.
Saved me a lot of agonizing rewriting.
Yeah, wow.
But yeah, for me, I'm like, oh, you know, because my thing's words as well, I feel like I'm always compromising because I'm fitting into... the box that I've been handed and how liberating it could be for me to be able to just sit on a piano or a guitar and actually just be able to write what I want. But then again, sometimes creativity comes with limitations. So.
I think that with melodies, the thing that I've sort of been narrowing in on or figuring out is just how much room there is in those boxes when you're talking about melodies. And it's something I didn't do. I did have melodies that were like, the verse is this melody, the chorus is this melody. But to realize how, you know, but you see that through careers of lots of songwriters. I guess, I mean, Paul Simon is a great example of someone who, it started from a point of being pretty complex and great, but as you got through his solo work, those melodies are constantly changing to fit the words. Even within, the yeah. chords aren't changing with them or anything.
It's I know, still... that's the most eye-opening thing about this interview is the idea that you could change the melody a little bit within those chords. Yeah.
And there's so many, even when I feel the most like, just how many times can you do B minor to D or G to F? The thing that I've found that's more freeing is how much more I'm able to just bend melodies within those structures as that's hard. It's not like I have 4 songs since this record, which has been done for a year, because I'm so obsessed with, it's something that happens slowly, even if I'm interested in doing it.
When did you finish the record?
I came back here in January. Well, so we did the one that you have.
Yeah.
But we kind of simultaneously did another one, too. There was so much stuff. And so I came back in January to finish up the second one that's now done and will be out.
And is this a solo effort, too?
Yeah, it was the same group of people in the same studio and the same everything.
When you're writing it, are you thinking about what group is going to record with you?
I wasn't before.
Yeah.
Because I did it. This was the first time I'd done it with this guy, Rob Schnaff, who is here. And it was a couple friends I knew in L.A., but it was more him bringing people in, like Pete Thomas, who the attractions driver.
Yeah, yeah.
That was just Rob being like, my friend Pete, I ran into him at the hardware store.
Yeah.
What do you think about him playing drums? I was like, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Is it more freeing, the idea of you, or is it different in the writing process, thinking that you're going to do a solo album, mm-hmm. or you're gonna mix it up a little bit this time rather than be with the same group that you've been playing with?
I've always been kind of musically promiscuous, so it's mm-hmm. like, even within that band structure, there was always I was always bringing in ringers, and there was always like multiple guitar players, different drummers here and there. So
where does the choice to be a solo act come? Is it just because everyone's not? Can't be involved, or
I think it's just a name that had baggage and time that went with it. It's like I'd been doing that for 10 years.
There
was a point where like our band followed a pretty common internet sort of through line, which was like big buzz, big relatively in quotes, but like buzz, relevance, cult of people like it.
Right.
For the next two or three, for the last two or three.
Yeah.
And so some of it was just kind of like, it'd be nice to just do something outside of the baggage, good and bad, of like a name that's is associated with music I made when I was literally like 17 years old, too.
It also rings as like a more personal album when it just has your name on it, too.
And part of it was like starting my 30s.
Yeah.
Part of it was like, unfortunately, a divorce happening.
Yeah,
like there was. It was. It did seem like a very natural.
Yeah, you don't want to drag the band down with your divorce.
I drug them down with all this stuff before.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mm. Have you ever left lyrics in like the scrambled egg syndrome, where it's
I have a song, kind of the most. We have a song called "Broad Ripples Burning" from my old band, which is kind of our poor man's hit on like
Broad Ripple is a high school in Indiana, right?
Yeah.
I know like that from David Letterman.
Oh yeah. Yeah. My dad went to the college that
I thought he was joking when he said, I went to Broad Ripple.
Oh yeah.
Such a dumb name.
I lived right by it. It is dumb. But that song had a line about people from an airplane looking like ants, and we were on tour with a British band that always thought I was saying eggs. So there's a line about people looking like eggs in that state. So that's almost a literal version.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had a lot of those, especially more so in my like mid-20s when it was a virtue to not make sense.
Yeah,
for me,
I had I keep bringing this up on different episodes, but I'm always interested to hear the reply. Have you ever misheard someone else's song and thought, "Wow, that's a better lyric than what I heard," and just use it
all the time?
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of an example. I got nothing, but
that's okay. We can wait. We never edit here
because I hate
to take 10 minutes of silence.
Okay. That works. I hate, for a long time, I was really like philosophically opposed to having lyric sheets included with albums because I hate, you know, if you get it on the way home and you open it and you start reading it, you'll never hear the melody.
Right.
Purely.
Yeah, yeah.
You always are reading the melody kind of.
Yeah.
and I included lyrics with this record, but for 10 years, because of mishearing lyrics, I would prefer to mishear lyrics and experience the melody.
I'm sure, you know, what they could do now is no lyrics until you listen to it once and then they just appear.
Or you could have those like pens.
Yeah.
You know, where you write in and then the words become clear.
Yeah, but it's still.
They, but then they could do it anyway.
They could still do it, yeah.
Unless you get shocked or something.
Oh, yeah.
I could do that for like a Christmas record.
Yeah, a Christmas record where you get shocked if you read, don't open until Christmas. So do you have a song you want to play?
Sure.
Anything you want to say about it before or after? And then we'll critique it. No, we won't.
Well, let's see. I guess I'll play one off the record that I don't play acoustic-ish much, and sure. It's called Lemon, and I don't know what to say about it. It's
we'll think of something.
All right.
Come to see me here in Chicago. I'll pick you up from the Logan Square station. Come to see me down in the ghetto, and I'll break my brain all over you again. Cause I'm just so glad to see you. I'm gonna eat you up like cotton candy, mama. There ain't no way around it. You got your paws on me and all my love. A karmic nightmare, a puff in the yard. I walk your ass to the train you ought to be on. Come on, scram, try your luck. Don't lord your love over me. Cause I got my limits, honey. You keep on pushing me. You think I'm lazy? Nah, but there ain't no way around it. You got your paws on me and all my love, but that ain't enough. That ain't enough. Come on, honeysuckle, talk slow. Dance your body down to the river, cause I ain't got the time for your honeysuckle. I ain't got the time for you, sucker. Come on, honeysuckle, talk slow. Dance your body down to the river, cause I ain't got the time for your honeysuckle. I ain't got the time. Come to see me here in Chicago. I'll pick you up. Cause you got your lemon, honey. How do you like him now? Do you think he's crazy? Cause I think I'm crazy. Well, I might be crazy, but that's not enough. Oh, that's not enough. Come on, honeysuckle. Come on, honeysuckle. There ain't no way around it. You got your paws on me in all my love. In all my love. In all my love. But that's not enough.
I'm from Chicago, so I know Logan Square.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I lived there for a long time.
You did, yeah.
I lived in the Ukrainian village.
Do you go back to Chicago much?
I love to. I haven't in a minute. But yeah, I have a show there in October.
Oh yeah, where?
Lincoln Hall.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did my first show there a couple of months ago at the Elbow Room.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Were you a Second City person or just a Chicago person?
Well, I took a couple classes at Second City, but I left because I got kicked off stage once for getting a laugh, and I was like, I don't understand. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
but then I'd put on a play at the Annoyance. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But Second City now, have you been there? They've got They got several little theaters in there.
Really?
Where you could go and do music and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I loved the Ukrainian village. I would have lived there for a long time, but got priced out.
Yeah.
Like everywhere, I guess.
So now you're primarily in Indiana?
Yeah, I'm here a lot. Yeah. But when I'm not here, I'm in Indianapolis.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to think of another question. You got one? It's believe me, it's just because I'm a bad interviewer. It's not you.
I'm fine with it being either.
No, this is great. I've learned so much already about seriously.
To ruin your songs. Yeah.
No. Usually, you know what? I was telling someone I don't apply a lot of what I learn on this show because I am set in my ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this episode I might start applying. Like the whole melody thing is really interesting.
Do you are you just constantly writing? Are you already working on the next thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to. I'm really unhappy when I'm not writing. I also, in this vein of people I know doing stuff, I also know people that they start writing a record when it's time to, like, it's been a minute, the other one's been out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel really unhappy if there's not a pretty consistently accumulating batch of things that don't sound like a crappy version of the last thing I did. And so I'm trying really hard, but I'm also like, it's like straight up kind of like a single dad 50 or 60% of the time. And so my time for the first time in my life is being partitioned in a very strange, that's like real life stuff, but it really affects.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Work. I think the reason I started writing so much lately is because my daughter's now 17.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't even want to hang out with me.
That's right.
So I'm writing a lot of sad songs about my daughter.
Yep. Yeah, I know how that goes.
Yeah, there's a Christmas song about her.
There you go.
About growing up. I remember her when she was 7 years old.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Gotta have
but not one. When she was six. That memory just doesn't go.
Fuck when she was six. Jerk. Seven's the sweet spot.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you have songs about her?
I have a song called Go to Sleep, You Little Creep.
Ah.
When she was younger. She's making her way into more and more songs. I mean, she's in Moonwrapped, obviously.
Yeah,
at the end.
Right.
It's
yeah,
kind of a
yeah.
little nod to her at the end of a record of Bummer.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's making her way into a lot more just because now it's kind of her and me a lot, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to do it in a way that's not saccharine and stuff. And so that takes work too, to figure out like how you write about these trips we take, our relationship with it being about something bigger than just how much I dig my child, which is a lot, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, part of the trick of songwriting, and I call it a trick, is to be a little... You're riding the line from being too abstract and writing in code, you know, just writing poetry about what you're feeling. That's the tough middle ground for me.
Yeah, no, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you haven't mastered it yet either?
No, I haven't mastered anything.
That's the sign of a true artist.
Or a bum.
Have you ever met anyone who's like, I'm perfect at everything?
Probably.
Yeah, they're awful. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Trump.
Yeah.
That guy eats,
rotten
ham.
Ham, yeah.
Spoiled meat. Who's the Trump of songwriters?
Well, I mean, it would be too harsh to say Paul McCartney.
I was in my head.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not too harsh.
Yeah.
I mean, that Christmas song you did. But no, there's got to be worse guys than Paul McCartney. The Trump of songwriters. That's a good... they'd have to be awful people, too, to lop them in with Trump. Because he's just across the board, just a bad guy, right?
Oh, just a dictionary definition of just everything. Put all the bad things in one pot and stir it up.
Yeah, it's amazing. Oh, holy shit!
Sting.
Okay. Sting.
Jeff Davis says Sting.
Jeff has an axe to grind with Sting. I like Roxanne. It's a good song.
Kanye's got the attitude for it. He actually calls himself God and, you know, all of that. He's got the attitude, but his music's phenomenal, so we can't say.
I hated Huey Lewis when I was a kid, but I can't, you know, a lot of people like him.
Yeah, a lot of people like Trump.
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh. Who else? No, this is fun. I like trashing people.
This should be the last question on every Sing-Songers now. Who is the Donald Trump of songwriting?
Yeah, it's like the Actor's Studio guy. when you die, who's the last person you want to see sing? God, there's got to be someone who's just going to jump right out at me.
I keep thinking that too, but I'm having trouble.
It was definitely in the 80s. Like, I hated a lot of pop music in the 80s.
Yeah.
But it has to have that winning...
Jimmy Buffett? I don't know.
It has to have that winning combination of being incredibly popular, terrible, and the person being so sure that they are the best in the world and that everybody loves them.
I like that the first person for all that criteria was Paul McCartney.
We both thought of Paul McCartney just because he's worse
it's
than
the
John
closest
Lennon.
Thing that That's I it. Can, yeah, it's not even fair at all.
Wait, I'm going to think of him. He's got to be there somewhere.
Morrissey.
I'm kind of with you on that, yeah.
Morrissey?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh, solo, Morrissey. Yeah.
How about Nugent? I just don't like him anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah. I'm trying to think like how... I guess he's like kind of the most Trump, but for some reason in my head there's a disconnect between...
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's just because he hasn't really been like he hasn't cared about being a musician or artist for a while. Probably he's a personality or something.
Right, yeah. He's just a politician.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he just swing back the other way and say, never mind, I don't like him?
What?
Never
did
like
he really?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he jumped ship or so I read somewhere on the
internet.
I wonder
what the final straw was.
I'm sure it was fake news.
So who have you been influenced by? You've mentioned Paul Simon. You've mentioned... who else did you mention? I forget.
Well, I love Randy Newman.
Randy Newman,
I think
right?
I brought him up.
Yeah. Are there any of their songs that really just spoke to you? That is a song that I don't wish I wrote, but it definitely could have come from me at some point in my life.
Well, I mean, Texas Girl at the funeral of her father by Randy Newman is one that I always go back to. It's just a perfect thing that I certainly wish I could have written.
Yeah.
With Paul Simon, I don't know, it's a lot of songs, I guess. It's like all of Graceland, maybe not production, how it sounds, but just the words and how...
Yeah, yeah.
Going back to melody, like how those words just... Words and melody just play with each other constantly, neither one of them dictating what the other's going to do, seemingly. Like,
yeah.
It's so hard to find any record where the words and the melodies... are each doing whatever they want, it seems like, all the time. Neither one is bending to the will of the other thing.
Yeah. It seems like he's doing a lot of that, you know, where he's...
Oh, yeah. Maybe more than anybody, I think. I mean, Dylan, for sure. But even Dylan's melodies seemed boxier than those Paul Simon melodies.
A song of Paul Simon's that I feel is always underrated is Duncan. I think that's a song I wish I could have written.
Yeah. Well, American Tune's another
one. American Tune is right up there
for me.
Yeah.
What's the one about traveling?
Homeward Bound or America?
No.
With his kid.
On Hearts and Bones, the title track.
Though. Oh, yeah.
That's another one like in his three or four.
Yeah,
that I
One and One Half Wandering Jews.
Oh, yeah, the best.
Yeah.
I love that song really, really intensely.
That's an underrated album.
A really underrated album.
I mean... The only bad song, which what would
you get? Allergies. Allergies kind of fun.
It's kind of fun. There's one like awful song. I guarantee you hate it.
Lay it on me.
Cars Are Cars.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So bad. I was at a concert of his where that album had just come out, and a woman yelled out, "Cars Are Cars," and I think he had this response ready. He said, "MacArthur Park. That's not my song." he just avoided doing that song because he knew it was a piece of shit.
Yeah. Well, he didn't have a lot of those, but.
No. He's definitely up there with my main inspirations.
Yeah. Yeah. He's tough to top in the
lyrics. Oh, what's your take on Cat Stevens?
I don't know it that well. I like it.
Yeah.
It's just not, I never went way down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I guess there wasn't like a huge rabbit hole to fall down before he. Before he got saved.
He had like four albums in like a year.
Yeah.
Like, and they were great albums.
My daughter listens to soundtracks from movies and shows she likes. And there's one of them recently where Cat Stevens, among a lot of really intense, like modern pop music, there's a couple Cat Stevens songs. And I found myself loving when they've come on recently. Yeah. But I don't know if it's.
He's probably good in small doses for some people.
Yeah.
Although I love listening to him. What do you think of Cat Stevens?
Fan, but like you, I didn't ever really get into it.
I'm always happy when they come on, but I never put them on. For
yeah, exactly.
Reason.
I don't ever elect to listen to it at home. But if it comes on, I won't turn it off.
If you were going to like just if you no audience, you're just thinking to yourself, who you think you're the most like as a songwriter?
Oh man.
Oh, this is terrible, though, because then it's like you have to, like, appraise yourself. Who
I know, but I'm saying pretend no one's
John
listening.
Lane.
Pretend no one's listening.
I think my tendencies, I don't think musically I'm as intense as these people, but I think that probably I fall under the kind of, like, the Brian Wilson melody. Mm-hmm. I'm not as musically intense, but maybe I try to take lyrics a little more seriously across. Not that there aren't Brian Wilson music where the lyrics are amazing and blow you away. Most of those he didn't write, but
yeah. I guess I meant that, like, who are you feel like you're most, because I, you know, I'll compare myself to, of course, my heroes, knowing that I'm not as good or I don't feel as good as them. But yeah, so I wasn't suggesting you should just say I'm as good as this guy.
Well, I think, I guess if I've fallen to anything, it's maybe that mixture of the more pop side of that era. And then, but there's also stuff like, I think I can get, I love Neil Young to me. It was like, I love like Dylan's the top of the pops for me, but I know I'm nothing like that. I know I'm a little like, melodically and stuff, I may be closer to the big A minors and Fs of a Neil Young than I am to other stuff I like.
Yeah. Do you get, are you known for one song specifically, like that you keep getting requests for?
With my old band, it's that Broad Ripples Burning song, probably.
And the next question is, do you like that song or not?
No.
Exactly. Every time.
Third
Every
question,
single
will
time.
You play it for us?
No. I don't remember.
I don't remember it. It's like John Cleese with the Silly Walks. He just won't
That's
do
right.
it.
I made a lot. All the music I made is caught on way after. You know, not that it's caught on in any big way, but I make records that nobody likes. They don't sell, and then they're out of print, and Amoeba sells them for $200.
Yeah,
like that's the kind of band I'm in.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't make a very good living.
I would kill for that.
I think you'll have it.
When you die, you're going to be fantastically rich. That's how you know you're a real artist.
I sure hope so.
You're at a place where you could, you know, you've got an audience and you could tour and
we'll see how long that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great. And look, over 60 minutes. A lot of these don't go over 60 minutes.
I'm sorry.
No, it's me. I'm just a bad interviewer.
I don't think so.
All right. Well, I learned a lot from this one.
Well, me too.
Yeah. All right, cool.
I can't wait to hear the Christmas record.
Yeah. And maybe we could hang out while you're here.
I'd love to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get along with Cartoon Network or you hate them?
I don't hate them. They just think I'm an insane person.
Yeah, my daughter's so obsessed.
Yeah.
I was waiting until we were live.
Well, does she like Rick and Morty?
Yeah, she's really into she does, but she's really, really into, like, Clarence, obviously, but then, like, all the weird...
I don't even know what's on now.
Yeah, I didn't until I had a...
Mr. Pickle, is she into that one?
I don't know that one.
I just know my friend does a voice on it. Yeah.
No, she's getting really into animation. She's, like, her brain's busting with all of it.
Oh, wow. Well, we should give her a little tour here.
Check the lobby after we leave.
Yeah, sure, yeah. She hasn't
pilfered some of your...
All right, Richard Edwards, do you want to plug anything? I mean, I think five people listen to this.
the name of your album again?
It's called Lemon Cotton Candy Sunset.
Right. Yeah. I love it. I just can't remember the name.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening, sing-songers. Or no, you're the sing-songer. I don't have a name for my listeners yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. On Skull Juice, they're the Skull Dingers. Maybe they're the Sing Dingers here.
That's Sing good.
Dingers.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much. I've been looking forward to this, and it didn't let me down. Man.
Yeah,
all right. Thanks.
All right.